Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, we don't care. We're just glad you're here. Rick Pinion is our guest. I'm glad he's here, too. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Has been with us for, golly, I guess we're in our eighth year. I think that's about right. Rick is the president of Pinion Financial Services. He is the financial planning expert of our business, of our Brain Trust, and he's got some really important stuff to talk to us about today. Hi, Rick.
Good morning, Jim.
Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
I feel like emeritus.
Well, you're not emeritus yet. We're going to keep working you a little harder. Folks, and as we always do when Rick joins us, Rick is a financial planner. He's a financial expert. He's a registered representative and an investment advisor. And so he's in a little bit of a different part of the marketplace than most of us. Most of us work in the world of caveat emptor, which means let the buyer beware. But in Rick's world, it's not that way. He works in the world of full disclosure ever since, especially the Securities Acts of 1933 and 1934. And so with that in mind, Rick has a couple of things he needs to say to us first.
That's right, Jim. Just in the spirit of disclosure, I just wanted to remind the listeners that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through SunAmerica Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC, and Pinion Financial Services, LLC, and SunAmerica Securities are not affiliated. Thank you very much.
You know, Rick, I was just thinking, that may be the reason, that disclaimer may be the reason why financial planners don't have groupies. What do you think?
Yeah, the groupies have to pierce that.
If rock stars had to give financial disclaimers, had to give disclaimers, there might not be so many groupies.
Maybe Rick, they should.
Maybe so. Yeah, exactly. Rick, one of the things that I know you want to talk about today is I think is a very interesting point and a very important one that everybody can use, and that is what you call the risk profile, establishing what our risk profile is as we consider investments, as we consider building for our retirement, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like for you to take a few moments and talk to us about what you do when you meet a prospective client for the first time.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, let me kind of lay the groundwork a little bit. The number one mistake that a lot of people make when it comes to financial planning or investments is miscalculating their attitude towards risk, or what we call fluctuations in the market, because as you know, the market goes in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways we try to help a person determine exactly what type of recipe we should put together for them, there's a tool that we have, and the tool is called the Confidential Client Profile. The purpose of this profile is to help a person identify, number one, their risk tolerance, and second of all, their time horizon. So once a person comes into our office and we establish a relationship and they become a potential client or even a client, one of the things we do is we go through a confidential fact finder, of which this profile is probably the cornerstone of that. And we use it because what we're trying to do is when we put together a portfolio for an individual, we have to calculate the percentage of each of the different, what we call, asset classes that go into this portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to get that right, because the worst thing in the world is to have someone who's very conservative wind up with a very aggressive portfolio.
You've got to not only think about what their assets are and how they're deployed, you've got to kind of get inside the head a little bit of this prospect, don't you?
Yeah. Well, also, as a registered investment advisor, I have a fiduciary relationship with my clients.
Right.
So my clients' interests always have to come first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got to take their temperature, so to speak.
How do you do that?
Well, what we do is we have them fill out a form. It's composed of 8 questions, and I'm sure that many financial planners have variations of this theme. But the questions relate to questions such as what is a person's time horizon? When are they going to start taking money out of their investments? That's very, very important, because if a person is close to retirement, obviously they're going to be taking the money out much sooner than someone who's, let's say, in their 20s. And we know that the longer the time horizon, we can be a little bit more assertive, a little bit more aggressive when it comes to their investments. And the shorter the time horizon, the more careful and the more cautious and the more conservative we have to become.
Because if you're very risky and something happens, unfortunately, something bad happens, then you don't have as much time to recover from that.
That's a good term.
Stand by, Rick. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion. We'll come back. We're going to talk about income only, income and growth, growth and income, growth or aggressive growth. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and a little more Steely Dan for you. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes on Sunday by email every Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead, and you can join the happy throng of thousands of subscribers all over the world, not just in the United States. We have folks subscribing to the show. And they're listening to on the internet all over the world. So hope you'll do that. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's a subscriber to our website and has been for a long time. To our newsletter. And Rick's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, basically an original member of our Brain Trust. And Rick, I'd like for you to give the audience your website, please.
Sure. In fact, let me give you a couple of them. The main one is www.pinion, P-I-N. I-O-N, just like opinion without the O. It's pinionfinancial1word.com. And the second website, for those who are interested in health and life information in terms of the insurance products, that's a different website. It's www.ehealthandlife.com.
And no extra charge for that second website either, by the way, folks. Right, Rick?
No charge.
No extra charge. Folks, if you'd like to find out that first website especially, I know you've got a lot of calculators on that website, don't you, Rick?
Yeah, and the first website is devoted to, you know, securities and products that relate to investments. And if you go there, you can navigate around the website, you go to the site map, and kind of key into the areas that you might be interested in, whether it's college planning, retirement, calculating present values of different sums. If you mm-hmm. win the lottery, we can help you there as well.
All right. So, and all that's, Rick's making that available to you just for free. Just go there and check that out if you want. And if you decide that you are interested in getting someone to help you with your financial planning, I'm sure Rick will either help you himself or he will help you find someone who can help you. Rick, let's get back into the investment profile, the risk profile that you talk about when you bring on a new client to find out how to help them manage their money. Talk to us about these different categories in this first question.
Yeah, it's amazing, Jim. This is the very first question, and this is the one that's so, so important. And that question is, we're asking the individual to describe their primary investment objective or objectives. So, for example, let's suppose that a person checks off the box that says income only. That tells me as a financial planner that they need to derive income from their investments, that their growth days are over. So I would identify this person as probably someone who's pretty conservative when it comes to investing.
Very low risk.
Low risk. A lot of fixed income. Very little securities except to keep up with a modest rate of inflation.
So what would you recommend for them, bonds or
oh, sure. Yeah.
Annuities?
Well, we'd recommend short-term, intermediate, long-term, and international bonds.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the whole bond category on that side.
Right. What about annuities?
Annuities, yeah. We have fixed annuities we'd probably recommend for them, or indexed annuities. But it would have to be something that would be very conservative for them,
mm-hmm.
not subject to market risk.
All right. And then the next category.
The next one is now we're moving down the scale or up the scale, depending on which way you look at it. This is called income and growth. So now we're moving from conservative to, let's say, a moderate conservative. And here what we're saying is when the person says, yes, I'm interested in both income and growth, we're changing the mixture a little bit. We're changing that recipe to add a little bit more stock, a little bit more securities into the portfolio.
Heavy on the income, but also some growth, these are the investments that probably would be less likely to provide any kind of like a dividend or a coupon or anything, but hopefully will appreciate over time.
Exactly.
But also add risk to the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the next one?
And the next one, now we're moving to the next notch here. The next niche is called growth and income. It's just the reverse of what I said before. Before I said income and growth, now we reversed it. It's growth and income.
So more risk and heavy on the risk and a little bit less heavy on the income.
Yeah, we're changing the equation, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the answer to these questions? This is where people are at that time when they're filling this out, or is this where, or do you say, okay, tell me where you want to be 5 years or 10 years from now? How do you ask the question?
Well, that's a great question, Jim. This is where the present position of where a person is now, but every so often we take their temperature again, and I have them work. I go through this worksheet about once a year, maybe once every couple
mm-hmm.
years, because it's not a static exercise.
So it becomes kind of like a rolling average, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so it's where you are at this moment. How do you feel? How risky and how income-oriented do you feel? All right, so we have the growth and the income. Then what's next?
Okay, next we have growth. And so growth, now we're getting a little bit more aggressive. Now
this is
now
typically the younger person, right?
Yes, because there's an emphasis on growth of capital without regard to current income. These are the people that are in their growth stage.
And growth could also be read as riskier.
Yes.
All right.
And the next one, which is the last one, is called aggressive growth. And these are for people that have a high amount of stock and equities in their portfolio. These are the people that are the risk takers. These are the people that can roll with the punches. These are the people that are more tolerant towards fluctuations in the marketplace. So when we get to the aggressive person, we've got most of their money in the market and just a little bit of fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an 80-20 split.
Right. Rick, stand by. We're going to take a quick break in a few seconds. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Rick if these five or six categories couldn't be used for different parts of your portfolio. We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion with Pinion Financial Services.
Know the magic of her charms, 'cause I want you, girl.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rick Pinion is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and the president of Pinion Financial Services out of Bethesda, Maryland, hard by to our nation's great capital, Washington, D.C. Rick, we're talking about this whole list of questions here in your what you call the financial risk profile that you give to your prospects, and we were talking about the different categories. Even though there are eight questions, the real telling one is the first one that we were just talking about, and this is where you help get your folks to indicate whether they're more interested in income or growth or a combination of the two. Is it possible that this could be a hard question for some people to answer? In other words, some people might be saying, well, you know, for some of my stuff, I think I do want just income. From some of my stuff, I just want I want growth. Is it possible, or is that a whole different discussion that you have with folks?
No, as a matter of fact, it came up yesterday, Jim. I was talking to one of my clients who's in Alaska, and she inherited some money from her parents who lived here in Maryland, and I've been working with her on a long distance basis. And we're talking about her IRAs, and she brought up a good point that it was going to be many years before she takes the money out of her IRAs. So we can be a little bit more aggressive on those than we can on the money that she needs on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually running two tracks. she actually has two risk profiles, one for retirement money and another risk profile for non-retirement money, mm-hmm. which makes a lot of sense to me.
Right, exactly. And so basically, depending on, you know, the person, and of course the size of the accounts are different for everybody, but is it possible to have more than two strategies?
Yeah, depending on the size of the account. And of course, the other thing we want to make sure before we get into any of the, you know, recommendations or things like that, we want to make sure the person has at least an emergency fund set up.
Mm-hmm.
And that emergency fund obviously has to be very conservative because
liquid too, I would think.
Yeah, it has to be liquid and safe and check writing privileges and hopefully tax-free.
Right.
Because we want that money available in case the heater breaks down or a person loses their job or something
right.
to fall back on.
Rick, speaking of something to fall back on, how are you advising your clients now these days about Social Security? I'm sure you're getting a lot of questions about that these days.
Yeah.
Because part of your calculation when you help your clients is to include the Social Security component. How are you doing that these days?
Well, I don't know, Jim, you probably feel the same way I do. I'm nervous about the system in the future, and I'm glad that at least somebody's talking about it, because I can remember ever since I was a kid, we used to make jokes about Social Security and would it be there for us.
Right.
And to tell you the truth, I don't know what the right answer is. I keep reading about new proposals every day as it kind of works its way through committees and, you know, Congress and things like that. But if we don't address that problem, we're going to have a huge, liability down the road that's going to affect the younger generations.
I think the liability is already there. It's just a matter of whether we come up with a plan that sort of makes it a little bit less dangerous. But Rick, what do you think about the private accounts angle?
Well, you know, on a limited basis, I like that idea. In other words, I think there should be some sort of private component, some sort of incentive attached to the Social Security system. Because if you look at the private sector, what's happened with 401ks over the years, I think people are becoming more sophisticated now, especially the younger people. They're doing a better job of, you know, picking the right selections for their 401ks. We've trained, a younger generation of how to invest better than, let's say, their parents or their
mm-hmm.
grandparents did.
Well, their parents and grandparents didn't have to deal with any of that. Basically,
right.
Someone else made the picks for them, didn't they?
Right. So I think we're shifting the responsibility back to the individual, and I'm a proponent of that. I think we should be responsible for our own futures. I think it's a mistake to rely 100% on any type of government program.
So basically, it sounds to me like you say the Social Security program should be based on income and growth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it.
To come back to your question here that you ask your clients.
Like a combination type program.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But that's going to be, you know, whether getting that done is a whole other story. Rick, we got about 30 seconds. What last thoughts would you like to leave with us?
Well, I think whenever we talk about Social Security, we talk about financial planning. It's very, very important to have incentives for people. So whether if we're talking about tax reduction strategies or we're talking about retirement, it's very important to use existing tax laws to give people an incentive to do the right thing for their future.
Mm-hmm. Rick, well done. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for the good job you always do for us, and we'll see you again next month.
Sounds great, Jim.
Give us your website one more time before you go.
www.pinionfinancial.com.
Also, the other one is ehealthandlife.com, right?
Yeah, ehealthandlife.com.
The first one especially, folks, has those calculators that Rick will let you use for free. Thanks, Rick. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.